Hey there, my lovelies. Welcome back to another episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Welcome back for part three of Listener Request Month.
Woo!
You are not getting better at this at all.
Next week I'll nail it, I bet.
I really don't think that you're trying very hard. You need to practice your cheering.
I do.
Our requests for this week are The Eyes of My Mother, as requested by our Instagram follower, Pedro, and A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, as requested by Shannon, Carly's friend.
Yay, girlfriends.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen these films yet, please proceed with caution, as we are a spoiler-heavy podcast. We're going to try to keep the spoilers to a minimum for The Eyes of My Mother, since it's a new release film, and we had to rent it. We'll try to keep them to a minimum. Although, it's not, like, an easy-to-spoil movie. It's just kind of, you have to see it to get it. Don't you think?
Very true. Yeah, I do.
I think even us talking about it wouldn't really spoil it.
There isn't much to spoil.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think it's okay to listen to us. We'll try not to say anything that we feel will ruin the film for you or what have you. But before we jump into these wonderful black and white films, let's get started with a segment we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Our first trailer today is The Bad Batch. I don't know why I said the first. Our trailer today is The Bad Batch, due for June 23rd. I picked this one last minute because Anna Lily Amapour directed this film, and it's coming out, and I'm obsessed with her now. I was obsessed with her before, but I'm even more obsessed with her now.
She's amazing. I will watch anything that she directs.
I'm obsessed with her. We'll get into it. But the IMDb summary for this film is a dystopian love story in a Texas wasteland and set in a community of cannibals.
I accept the challenge.
Yes, please. It's starring Keanu Reeves, Jim Carrey, and Giovanni Ribisi, who...
And Jason Momoa, let's not forget.
I don't know who that is. Why?
Drogo.
Oh! I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
Without his ponytail.
He's also our new Aquaman.
Oh, he's very handsome.
He is very handsome. He's awesome. I really like him.
I also enjoy the way that his body looks and his face.
Thank you.
Yep. Jim Carrey, though, really? I didn't see Jim Carrey in that trailer at all. I also like how there's, like, the whole trailer is a woman, and then there's no, like, woman listed as starring in, but I guess when you have Keanu Reeves and Jim Carrey and Giovanni Ribisi, like, those are the ones that pop up first.
I thought... Because that's Suki Waterhouse, right? And it said introducing. I thought she's been in other stuff. Maybe other stuff just came out before?
I don't know.
I guess she's a model.
Oh, is she? I don't know I'm not familiar.
No, yeah, she was in... Okay, so she was in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Didn't see it. I read the book. Does that count?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Still don't know her, though. I still don't know her. Sorry.
So interesting. I wonder how long this movie's been in production, if it said introducing, and she was also in the Divergent series. She was an insurgent.
I think it came out in 2016 in the film circuit, but it's doing a theatrical release on June 23rd, at least in the United States it is.
Interesting.
I think this looks fantastic, by the way.
Yes.
It looks really good. I'm so excited.
Super entertaining.
I love her point of view. I love her film style. I love her shots. I love Anna Lily so much. And as I was researching this episode, because we were doing A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, as I was researching it, I just felt deeper and deeper in love with her. And it's an incurable love. Ours is an incurable love, mostly on my side because she doesn't know I exist.
She's in it, guys.
But I Amy's am in it to win it. I love her so, so much. We're not even talking about the trailer. I'm just going to profess my love.
So you can bet that Amy's going to see this movie.
100%. The second I can, I will. In fact, can I get a screener for this? Can someone shoot me a screener, please?
Maybe we'll be your best friend.
If I profess my love to Anna Lily on Twitter for many weeks.
Yes.
She may block me, or she may give us a screener and an interview, in which case I will faint and possibly die because I'm in love with her.
Moving on. My brain would explode.
Do we have anything to talk about with this movie other than it looks amazing? There's not really a lot of, you don't get much plot, but it has kind of like a Mad Max feel to it, especially in the beginning. It's very Mad Max-y, where I could totally see her as Mad Max. Her clothes are on point. There is a smiley face jean short that I am very much interested in. The music in the trailer makes me want to kill myself. I love it so much.
She's just got a great aesthetic.
Everything she has going on,
yeah,
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I want to be her and also love her in a romantic way.
She reminded me of you.
That is the biggest compliment you have ever given anyone in your entire life, and I love you for
probably.
It.
Probably. You're welcome. It's because I love you.
Oh, I love
and
you.
I was like, Amy loves, this is Amy.
I mean, we're drinking wine and just professing our love to each other, Carly. I kind of am all about this episode today.
Me too. Cheers.
Cheers. Dink. I'm married to a man. I just want to say that out loud. But I'm also in love with women. Okay. Let's move on.
Let's proceed.
We don't need to define things. Moving on. The Eyes of My Mother from 2016 is our first film, written and directed by Nicholas Pesch. That's correct. That's how you say his name, in case you were wondering, Carly, because I looked it up.
So I love that you looked it up.
There you go. This is his directorial debut. The IMDb summary is, a young, lonely woman is consumed by her deepest and darkest desires after tragedy strikes her quiet country life. And you are a fan of this one.
Guys, my first impression of this movie was a decapitated head of a cow.
Yeah.
And eye dissection.
Yeah.
And also a woman talking about how she doesn't feel anything, really. So, again, IMDb's little blurb kind of throws me for a loop, as it did with Landmine Goes Click.
Yeah.
Because she was never upset by any of this death that was happening. Am I wrong?
I disagree.
Okay.
I don't feel like she wasn't lonely.
Oh, that's... Yeah, no, I definitely think she was lonely, but, I mean, she's definitely not normal or didn't react to her mom getting murdered in the way that most children would.
That's true.
Or
also,
adults.
Also, her mother did not react in a way that would be expected.
That's true. So this movie, I guess I should preface this. This movie was kind of hard for me to watch just because of the beginning of it, because of my animal situation. But I don't know. It also kind of broke my cardinal rule with me not caring about what happened to any of the characters. And that's just me personally. I didn't care what happened to the girl because I wasn't emotionally attached to her. There was nothing about her that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really get to know any of the other characters to the extent of having me form any kind of opinion about them or any kind of emotional attachment to them. So, while I watched this movie and it was fine, it wasn't something that I hated once I got past the animal situation. It's not something that I was like, would really ever watch again.
I hear you. I think that point of view is totally valid. And I get what you mean when you say that you weren't rooting for any of the characters. And that is something we talk about a lot on the podcast, is that we need to like kind of get behind our characters. For me, it didn't bother me as much in this film. While I agree, I didn't really care for any of the characters. I did see a journey here that was worth sharing, and there was enough of a story, a concentration of these moments that I found interesting. Was this 100% like an Amy type movie? No, There were definitely things that I didn't love about it. It was definitely harder to watch than I was expecting it to be. I'm not big on watching anyone being chained up. I don't know why. Like, freaks me out. In, like, not a good horror movie way, but in, like...
Yeah.
And especially after the movies we watched last week, like, I kind of was hoping for something a little bit more artistic, in terms of,
especially
of that.
Especially with the trailer. The trailer makes it look a little bit more cohesive, I guess. Mm-hmm. I feel like this movie, and I wrote this in my notes before I watched that. I watched, like, the first, like, 5 minutes of that interview that you showed.
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie would have been a lot more successful as a short.
It was a short.
Exactly. And yeah. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, that makes sense.
We also have to keep in mind here that this is Nicolas Pesch's first feature-length film. First film, really, period. And yeah. He was probably, I think he was like 25, 24 or 25 when he started this project. That's mm-hmm. crazy. Yeah. This is insanely good for a young director. I think there's some really amazing shots that show a lot of talent. I loved that it was shot in black and white because there was so much, like, kind of hard to watch scenes. The black and white kind of toned it out and made you be able to concentrate on what was actually happening, I thought, instead of being, like, grossed out or, like, I don't know. For me, it helped even out the tone. There's this really amazing long shot, and I think it's in the trailer, where you see someone running up into the hills, and then you slowly see her follow them. I thought that was really beautiful shot. It really helped, like, kind of concentrate on that loneliness, that our main character has. So there's a lot of good stuff here. This film is not really for me, and I don't know that I would revisit it, at least not right away. But I think as a first-time director and writer, he should be super proud of himself, and this is quite an accomplishment. But yeah, I definitely see where you're going, and I agree with you on a lot of your points. But I didn't dislike it. I didn't hate it, and I thought that it had a lot to offer. And I'm excited to see more from this director. I think that, especially as a starting point, this is a great starting point.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we've done quite a few directorial debuts here on Final Girls, and this is, I think, one of the better ones for sure. I mean, compare this to like Anti-Birth. I mean,
totally different movie films. If we're gonna get into it,
no, but I mean, in terms of like having a cohesive, like real feeling story, like I don't know. To me, this is an accomplishment. A definitive talent. There's no denying that. And I enjoyed it. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. But I enjoyed it. And there were certain parts of the movie that I absolutely loved.
I certainly didn't hate the movie by any means. I just didn't. And that's why, like, I texted Amy. I was like, maybe I just don't like art films. Because I was like, I just didn't get some of it. Or I didn't see the point in some of it. But
let's talk about that then. What do you think makes this an art house film? Other than the fact that it's an independent film and it's in black and white.
It's in black and white.
But I mean, any movie that's in black and white's an art house film now?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not. Because then, I mean, you've got a lot of movies that aren't.
Yeah.
Or that are not, obviously, black and or art house films. I can't even speak. I don't know. It's just like.
Is it because of the simple storyline that makes you feel that way? Or like a lot's unsaid?
It just very much reminded me of, like, old, like, satire art house films where people are, like, on the beach and the wind is blowing and then they say one word and then dot, 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 and okay. Then something else happens.
That's and a little bit like, reaching. I mean, come on, that's not fair. That's like...
I don't know.
That's not at all, like, what's happening here.
It's not, and I'm not, but it's what, like, it's what it made me think of. And I was just like, because there's just like shots of people just like sitting there and then moving to the next one. And like, yes, everything looked really pretty and like everything looked fine. Like the movie looked great, but like I wasn't personally sold on any of the goings on.
I can feel you on that. So he, Nicolas Pesce really was drawn to films like Psycho and Repulsion and the filming style of those movies, the types of shots they used and the framing of those types of shots. So he just decided to go with black and white after filming it, or not after filming it, but he decided to go with black and white because it kind of went along with that and it stuck with that nostalgia of the camera work he was trying to go for. Mm-hmm. But like I said before, like, I personally respond to, there's a brutality in this film that's unexpected and comes and goes. So
I can see that. For me, it wasn't necessarily unexpected because in your first scene, you're having a mom show your daughter how to do brain surgery and dissect an eye. So I immediately knew right off the bat this was probably going to be a brutal-ish movie. And
When you text, because you watched this shortly before I did, and you texted me saying that the beginning was very difficult to watch because of the cow thing, I didn't find that difficult to watch. I was kind of expecting, like, her to be sawing off a cow head or something, and it was just, yeah, it was just sitting there, you know, so it didn't really, like, I don't know, it struck me as fake, I guess, and the eyeball was, like, it didn't even really look like an eyeball, so I wasn't... To me, I didn't find that, like, gross or disturbing, but you're definitely more sensitive to the animal stuff than I am. I think the real kind of terror started to come when, you know, the beginning scenes with the mom and the guy in the house, and that stuff I found difficult, and then a lot of the chained up eye stuff I had a harder time with.
I thought it was really interesting what they decided to show and what they didn't decide to show. Because, like, they obviously didn't decide to show, like, the sex stuff. Mm-hmm. They didn't decide to show her kill the girl that she, like, lured back to her house. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of things that were very interesting to me that, like, they went into very great detail with some of it. And that's why I feel like it would have been more successful as a short film. I feel like it didn't even, you know, it was just over an hour long. It was, like, an hour...
15.
Yeah. It just felt like a lot of it was like kind of filler and didn't necessarily add to the story, which is why, like, I didn't hate it by any means, but I think in order to get the point across, it would have been much more cohesive and successful as a short.
Interesting. Yeah, he said in an interview that he wanted to make a film that concentrated on the quiet moment between tragedies. So a lot of the in-between scenes are our main character cleaning or doing chores and taking care of the cows. And then, like, these other more grotesque sections, like, thrown in.
Like, that could have been a movie, is, like, a short movie, is, like elements leading up to this huge grotesque moment, and then
I haven't seen the short, so I don't know what it looks
either. I have no
what
idea.
It looks like in comparison to this, and maybe that's just more your cup of tea. But all in all, I was impressed by it. I enjoyed it. I think it was a good recommendation.
It was a great recommendation because I probably wouldn't have seeked this movie out had it not been recommended, and I'm definitely happy that I did see it.
I was actually excited to see this movie, and when we did our trailer trash talk on it, I remembered and wanted to watch it. So thank you for recommending, Pedro. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Pedro.
Okay, are we ready to move on? Is there anything else you'd like to share?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you for the recommendation, Pedro.
Thank you so much.
Let's do this. Girl Walks Home Alone at Night from 2015, written and directed by Anna Lily Amapour. The IMDb summary reads, in the Iranian ghost town Bad City, a place that reeks of death and loneliness, the townspeople are unaware that they are being stalked by a lonesome vampire. Again with the lonesomeness.
Vampires are very lonely.
They are. I love vampires.
Me too.
I came to the conclusion the other day that I want to be a vampire. Is that weird?
Nope.
Okay. Like, if I could be any, like, supernatural creature, I'm pretty sure I'm going to pick a vampire. I'm just saying. I'm
trying to think if there's anything else that I would be. I like the vampire
either a
situation.
Vampire or a witch. Witches Ooh. Are also very cool.
I think I'd be surprised if you chose not to be a witch. Because I know you love witch movies.
I mean, I've never heard of a witch-vampire hybrid, but I'm into it.
I think that you could be it. Dream big, Amy.
I mean, if I could be a vampire, if I'm like one of those like vampires who have humanity, and then I would also choose to be a witch because then I could cast spells and things. So really, I'd have the strength and I'd be like super amazing and beautiful as a vampire, but then I would also get to have like this like supernatural power of like casting spells.
Would you have a vampire coven? A vampire witch coven.
Oh my god, I totally would.
Yes.
You could be in my vampire witch coven if you want.
Thank you.
I'm getting weirder and weirder as I get older. I'm not getting like more normal. I kind of always thought that would happen where I'd like slowly become my mother, you know, or like,
yeah,
you know, become like a normal human being. But I feel like I'm getting stranger as I get older. I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it too. I like it.
I enjoy that about myself, but also sometimes things come out of my mouth and I'm surprised by them.
You're like, I said that. That just happened.
Especially when I'm editing a podcast, I'm like, wow, I really said that. Should I edit that out? No, I'll just leave it and embarrass myself. What's the difference?
Never edit it out.
Okay, so this was your first time viewing this movie. This was my fifth time viewing this movie. I'm obsessed with it, and I'm more obsessed with it every time I watch it. How are you feeling about it?
I love this movie, and I was like, of course, my girlfriend. She's my best girlfriend, so I call her my girlfriend. Of course, she recommended this movie and knew that I would absolutely love it because I totally do. And it was a movie that I have been meaning to see for a really long time because they played it at CineFamily that's right around the corner from my house. Mm-hmm. And I regret so deeply that I didn't see this there because I loved it so much.
Yeah.
The music was amazing.
Oh my God. Her taste in music
is phenomenal. Yes.
Phenomenal. Did we both just say phenomenal at the same time? Because that's
awesome.
Did.
We sure did.
I love it.
And her view, like her perspective is so beautiful.
It is.
Like a skateboarding vampire.
Yes.
In Iran. I mean.
She has the chador, like the long head scarf that reaches the ground. It's like a cape and it's just.
It's perfect.
Perfect. It's beautiful. It makes me so happy. Everything about this movie makes me so happy. I love her vampire teeth, by the way, because they shoot out from her mouth.
That's what True Bloods do.
Do they really?
They do. She's never seen True Blood.
I saw the first couple episodes. I wasn't into it.
Me either, but then you just get into it sometimes.
All right, I'll have to try it again. You're getting off topic.
That's true. But they like click out.
I know. It's like, and it makes like a noise. I just love it. And I love it. And the pimp is probably the most amazing character put to film. He is.
I just like stabbed myself with a pen. I love the the D Antwoord. Like she was like, this guy is basically like that guy.
Yes.
Like what she based his looks off of.
Yes.
And I was not expecting him to be, like, the ultimate babe in real life. Like, he's super, super attractive.
Very handsome in real life.
Dominic Raines, shout out.
Oh, my God. And his facial hair in this movie.
Holy shit.
Beautiful. I have never seen such a thing in my life. It's the most amazing thing in the whole world. It's, like, a Fu Manchu on the sides. And then, like, a little, like, what do you call that? Under your bottom lip. I know a dirty word for it, but I'm not going to say it on the podcast in case my mom listens.
Is that the soul patch?
Oh, maybe that's the better word for it.
I'm going to Google it. You keep talking.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, like, it's a Fu Manchu on the side, but with no top mustache over the top lip. And then there's a little, like, whatever you just said underneath the bottom lip. Soul patch. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I think every man in the world should have this facial hair. That can grow facial hair.
I disagree with you, but I will agree with you. That's amazing. Nobody should have this facial hair. However, it is phenomenal.
If you send us a picture with you with this facial hair, I will send you 10 stickers.
All the friggin' stickers.
All the stickers. I will order more stickers.
Just for you.
So you can, I just love it so much. It's the best.
I'm going to draw it in and send it to you.
You can't. That's cheating. You can't.
With my eyebrow pencil.
Just makes me so happy.
It really is. I mean, in his tattoos, I was like, does that say sex on his
jugular? Yes, it totally does. And did she... Oh, my God. So Carly and I watched this video that was basically Anna Lily and Elijah Wood. And they're, like, talking about making the film because Elijah Wood was an executive producer. And she's talking about how she had her mom draw that Farsi word on his head. Yes. And... and it, which means, in Farsi, it means pussy stretcher.
Hilarious.
She had her mom draw it on her head because she has like a beautiful Farsi script. So she had her mom do it.
I loved Elijah Wood's reaction to that. He was like, I'm sorry, what? What did you have your mom do?
I'm sorry for like my rude language, but seriously, it says pussy stretcher.
So good.
This Anna Lily is my spirit animal, and she is everything I am and everything I want to be in life, and I just love her so much.
You're on your way.
I want to cry. And she skateboards. Like, how cool is that? I just want to be her.
I wish I could skateboard.
So, for some reason, there's obviously a reason that people think this is an Iranian film. It's not an Iranian film, everybody. It's not. It takes place in Iran, and people speak Farsi, but it's made in America. It's an American film. Mm-hmm. She, Anna Lily, was born in the UK and lived in America most of her life. So I just want to put that out there. A lot of people will talk about, you know, Under the Shadow as being the second Iranian horror film. It's not. This is not the first Iranian horror film.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that this film could have been made in Iran. It couldn't.
Oh, no way.
It couldn't. I mean, even Under the Shadow wasn't made in Iran. They wouldn't have let it. So,
yeah.
I just want to make that clear because a lot of people think this is Iranian and it's not. It feels like it has that like real like American culture like under like push, you know?
But it's, yeah, it does.
It just creates something really different and special that's like very specific to her. And it's so nice to see something creative and interesting like this. Now, as a horror film, this doesn't really register with me as a horror film. This is a vampire love story, as far as I'm concerned. There's nothing very scary in it. There's very few, like, attack scenes. Although those attack scenes are pretty fucking rad, and I love them. It's also, like, really super like feminist and like refreshing to watch after having a bad taste in my mouth from last week. So I'm just so happy to do this film now and just fall in love with it all over again.
No, it was so great. It's so true too. I loved watching. You're going to post the links for the behind the scenes Vice things.
Yes, I will. And I encourage all of you to watch the behind the scenes films. They're short. They're like 12 minutes each. There's two of them. And they're just so lovely.
They were super interesting to watch. I really liked the woman, Sheila Vand, that played the girl. Mm-hmm. How she spoke about, you know, sometimes when she's like walking home alone at night or something, or walking somewhere at night and she gets scared, she'll like channel the girl. Like she's really easy to slip into, and she really likes, you know, like she'll find comfort in that and just kind of like that aura.
There's this one scene, there's two scenes in particular in this film that like stick in my mind. And the first is when she's walking by herself and the father is walking home, and he's crazy and you know, being the father. Mm-hmm. And she's walking parallel on the other side of the street from him, just, like, copying his every move and like being his mirror, and totally fucking freaks him out and he runs home. And there's something like so amazingly powerful in that she's not actually doing anything, but her confidence and her fearlessness are what makes her like intimidating to him.
Yeah.
And there's something in that, ladies, there's something in that that we need to remember, that, you know, appearing as though we're confident and aren't a pushover in and of itself is a superpower. And I just want to give that as a refresher and as a reminder to everyone, including myself, that don't walk around like a victim. Fuck it. Fuck the patriarchy. Just saying. There's definitely something in that, though, right? I mean,
totally.
I love that. And then also the other scene that I fucking love so much, and it's like become the iconic scene in this film, is when she brings him back to her lair, her yes. amazing like collection of music and posters and amazingness. And she's staring away, and he walks up to her like he's in his like Dracula costume.
That's my favorite. Like, I love that he's in a Dracula costume.
And the strobe light is just spinning and the music is amazing, and they just like fall in love in that moment. Mm-hmm. And it's just that's how she like attacks people, right? She lets the men come to them and act like they're going to be a predator, and then she turns and she's the predator.
Yeah.
So like that moment's really beautiful because you just saw that similar thing happen when she attacks the pimp, but then now it's become a whole different thing where she's kind of acting the same but has a completely different response to what's happening. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love this movie.
That's definitely one of my favorite scenes. My other favorite scene is when she goes up to the little boy.
Oh, so good.
And she's like, I will be watching you for the rest of your life.
She's so scary.
Holy cow. She's
That's
like,
the scariest
don't
part.
Be, she's like, don't be a shitty dude.
Yeah.
Because it's basically what she's saying to him. Yeah. Like, yeah. Are you a good boy? And he's like, yes. And she's like, I'm going to ask you again. Don't lie. And then she's like, are you a good boy? And he's like, yes. And she's like, okay, I'm going to ask you one more time. And you better not lie. And then she's like, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to watch you for the rest of your life. Be a good boy.
Yeah. Man. And at the end with the cat. By the way, this cat
is beautiful.
Is not only beautiful, is the single best actor I've ever seen in feline form.
It's true.
In a film. This cat is an amazing actor.
And it's her cat. Point,
yeah, it is her cat. And it kind of looks like my cat. I'm just saying, because my cat's kind of fat like that one. But that final scene where they're in the car and it's silent and there's so much happening in that silence, and the cat is just sitting in between them, like looking back and forth between them, and then lays down and just kind of snuggles into the moment. Like, come on, that cat's amazing. That Seriously. Cat's an amazing actor.
I loved, because I actually like thought about that, about the cat. While I was watching the movie, I was like, that cat's gorgeous. And like, what a good cat. Like, that is amazing. And then all of a sudden watching that thing, and she was like, I didn't even really want to put him in the movie because he's fat. And I don't know. I just didn't really think about it. And then he ended up like stealing every scene. And I was like, that was a good call, because that cat was awesome.
That cat is awesome.
I think I talked about everything. The cat, the pimp babe. Music.
Oh my god, the pimp, by the way, that facial hair, I can't get over that facial hair.
I was literally so shocked, because I was like watching the movie and I was like, oh, that pimp is so gross. And then I was like watching the behind the scenes thing, and she was like, he's actually really attractive in real life. And I was like, yeah, right. And then it cut to him and I was like, what? That's the same guy.
And by the way, that scene where he dances to like seduce her is the single most uncomfortable moment in the whole film.
So true.
I hate it when dudes dance. I find it very uncomfortable. Like, like my biggest nightmare would be going to like a dude strip club, because I would be horrified to watch it.
I think I would just like laugh uncomfortably the whole time.
100%. What do you do in that scenario? Just standing there, and he's
He's just like thrusting, pelvic thrusting all over the place. Oh, it's so gross. So I got gross. Nothing. I have no idea.
It's so gross. Also, in the Vice making of shorts that I'm going to post, Anna Lily is wearing a Suicidal Tendency shirt.
I noticed that.
I must marry her. She Don't tell her. My husband.
It'll be our secret.
Okay.
Nobody needs to know.
Nobody needs to know. Just you, me, everyone that listens to this podcast, literally everyone I'm meeting from now on in my life, I will profess my love on Twitter, everyone I follow on Twitter. Other than those people, no one else has to know.
It's our secret.
It's our secret.
It's fine. Okay.
All right. Okay, we can stop talking about her now. I'll just think about her in my head.
Fine.
Well, we have questions, Carly. We have questions we have to answer, so Yay! We have to move on. Okay, so our former segment called Tommy BS, The Final Girls, is now no longer just Tommy BS, The Final Girls. We got other people asking questions this week.
Thank you.
Our patheticness got us more listeners and more questions, so... Also, thank you to everyone who started following. I feel like ever when we started Listener Request Month, we started getting a lot more followers and a lot more people talking to us. So I'm glad we're doing this, and I'm glad you guys are starting to talk to us and open up conversation. We really love it. Shout out to our new follower, Kat Black. She's our follower on Facebook and maybe Twitter or Instagram and somewhere else. She sent us this link to an NPR podcast. What's the name of the podcast, Carly? You're familiar with it.
Oh, This American Life.
Oh, is it This American Life?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think I knew that. Sorry. Oops.
I love that
She show. Sent us a link to This American Life, and it was just a short segment at the beginning of the episode about these guys in the Army who were... off in the middle of nowhere, and they became obsessed with Gilmore Girls because, like, as a joke, they started doing it to piss off, like, their sergeant or whatever, because he was, like, it just pissed him off if, like, they wore pink or, like, did anything that wasn't super masculine. So they started watching Gilmore Girls, and then they all became, like, obsessed with it.
It's amazing.
And guys would make fun of them, and then they'd start getting into it, so then... By the end of it, all the dudes were really into Gilmore Girls. And it was like the single best 15 minutes of my day. And thank you for sending that to me, Kat Black. I will also post a link to that specific episode. If anyone likes Gilmore Girls or doesn't, it's just a really great story. Amy Sherman-Palladino sent them jackets. I cried when I listened to it. I'm not going to lie.
That's amazing.
It's just a wonderful story. And I love This American Life. It's great.
It is so great.
I listened to it on NPR. I haven't listened to the podcast. I should totally do that, though. I don't know why I don't.
It's so good.
Okay, so anyway, Kat Black asks us a question. What were the horror movies you saw as youngins that scared the shit out of you and got you into the genre? She says, for her, it was Poltergeist, The Shining, and Jaws. Love the show, by the way. Thank you, Kat. Carly, do you want to take this one first?
Okay. I will definitely say... Definitely Poltergeist was one of them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say this as, like, my main one because I didn't watch the full movie, but, like... I walked in on my mom watching It once and just, like, Pennywise in the gutter.
Mm.
And she was like, you can't watch this. Like, you have to get out of here. And I was like, why is that clown in the gutter? This is terrifying. I have a vivid memory of that. But I would say The Town That Dreaded Sundown, the original, like, one that was made in the 70s, scared the shit out of me when I was younger.
Very cool. I'd say mine, for me, Pet Sematary and The Craft were probably two of my favorites when I was younger that got me into horror. And then as I got a little bit older and I started getting obsessed with horror, it was films like the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre that really freaked me out. And also, I was, like, completely obsessed with the Evil Dead trilogy and was totally freaked out by, like, the first two movies. So those are probably mine.
Nice.
Yeah, I've spoken about those in past episodes, too, but definitely probably. And it's the first movie that scared the shit out of me, beyond Hocus Pocus, and if you want to hear that story, you can listen to our Hocus Pocus episode. That's when I was real little. But my friend's brother had a Freddy Krueger poster on his wall when I was probably like 5 or 6. And it scared the shit out of me. Like, I never even saw any of the Nightmare movies. But the poster alone scared the crap out of me so badly. And I couldn't imagine how anyone could want to be in the room with that poster on the wall.
Dude, I remember, like, not watching those movies for a really long time because I feel like I saw one of the scenes, I think it was in 5, the one where he's, like, feeding the girl her, like, intestines.
Oh, like, yeah.
And I was, like, it, like, physically caused me, like, pain. I was so, like, grossed out by that scene and, like, the one, like, where he's, like...
The puppet.
Yeah. Using... I was like, I can't handle it. I can't.
By the way, Carly just touched her wrist, and I knew exactly what she was talking about. I was like, yes!
I was like, oh, God, no. I hate it.
The that puppet. Oh, really, my God, the puppet one. Oh, yeah. I totally feel you on that.
Like, even if people grab, like, touch my wrist right there, even to this day, I get, like, really bugged out by it.
I'm like, I'm a little bit bummed out that I know what the inside of that wrist looks like.
Yeah, seriously.
Thanks, Nightmare on Elm Street. Okay, next question. We do have two from Tommy B, because Tommy B does ask Final Girls. He asks, any horror cartoons or anime that you'd recommend? I have a hard time with this question. Anime, certainly not. My only anime that I know are, like, you know, the Studio Ghibli movies, which I love. But that's really, like, that's all I know about anime. I'm not going to pretend like I'm an anime expert. In terms of horror cartoons, I got not much. I'm trying to think of what horror cartoons are. I think of, like, isn't there, like, Courage the Cowardly Dog or something? Yeah. Have you seen that? Like, that one's kind of horror-ish, right? And then I, like, remember Beetlejuice cartoons growing up. It's not really horror, but, like, that's, like, the main thing I can think of. But then there's also this UK animated show that's a web series called Salad Fingers. Are you familiar with that?
Dude, totally. Yeah.
I think probably Salad Fingers. I really like Salad Fingers. It's really weird and creepy, and I'm sure everyone knows about it. But if you don't, it's on YouTube. You can probably watch it. It's weird. And it does really freak me out. It does a really good job of freaking me out. If I watch too many in a row, I'm like, okay, I don't want to watch this anymore.
Yeah, for anime, I don't know. I guess I would say, like, Attack on Titan. Does that qualify?
You can't answer you, and I've never seen it.
I know.
So, yes.
For horror cartoons, immediately when I saw this question, I thought of the episode of Ren and Stimpy where it's, like, Psycho. And they're, like, it's, like, a totally black and white episode. And they're, like, in this house. And they're just, like, there's ghosts that are, like, going around. But, like, it was kind of creepy but also funny because it was Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
So that's, like, what I immediately thought of.
Yeah.
When I thought of horror cartoons and Ah Real Monsters.
Ah Real Monsters. Totally awesome.
So good.
Ah Real Monsters is great. He also asks, what are the chances of a Monsterpalooza month? Okay, so we said Monsterpalooza like 3 times in our last episode. And
we did.
He thought we were talking about doing like a monster month, like a monster movie month.
I would be so down with that.
I would, like, be totally down,
like,
with that.
Old, like, Universal horror movies.
You know what? I think we should, because I'm not well-versed in Universal monsters. I've seen very few of those films. I've seen, like, The Wolfman, and I've seen Frankenstein, and that's it. So I'd be down to do that.
That would be really cool. Speaking of, I've been hearing amazing things about the new Kong movie, and I'm going to see it tomorrow, and I could not be more excited.
I'm not. See, the thing is, I don't get excited about those things probably because I have no like nostalgic connection to them.
I've had multiple friends say that it's been like their favorite movie going experience, like or like top 10 movie going experience.
Well, I'm down to see it.
I'm super excited about it, guys.
But it's just it's not like my thing. Sure. You know, yeah. I'm not against it in any way, shape or form. It could be something we do, Tommy B, if those movies are streaming, like. It's definitely something that could happen. Not anything we have in the books for now, but possible in the future. Okay. And then at Giant Be With You, who's like old school Twitter friend, says, since you're doing A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, what's your favorite vampire film?
Twilight. Just kidding.
Stop only saying said Twilight that. For everything.
I know. That's why I said that. Because I was like, how does it fit? It fits. It totally fits.
It does
fits.
Fit. Okay, Carly's favorite's Twilight. Yep. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Go with your favorite first.
Okay, so do you want me to talk first?
Okay, yeah, I
already thought out my answers because this is a really hard question for me because I love vampires, as I've said already this episode. So I have a lot of favorites.
Yeah.
I know you're going to make me pick one, but I'm going to mention a couple first. So this is where my head went, where I was like, okay, well, obviously Nosferatu is amazing and totally freaks me out every time. By far the scariest looking vampire of all time is Nosferatu. Also, honorable mention to The Lost Boys and honorable mention to Bram Stoker's Dracula. But my ultimate favorite, and this is a very personal choice for me, and I don't expect anyone to necessarily agree with me, but my all-time favorite is 1985's Fright Night. I love Fright Night. Fright Night so much.
Yes.
Because here's the thing about Fright Night that is so amazing to me is not only do we have the 80s, which is great, we also have the quirky 80s characters. We've got stellar character development. We have so much like fun interaction between our characters. We have the scariest vampire surprise at the end. I love me a movie that makes me think it's a quirky 80s movie and then surprise, fucking scary ass ending. Booyah, scary, scary fucking vampires, crazy large mouth with teeth. I'm mimicking, you can't see me.
I can. But
Carly can, she can enjoy it. By far, just the love of my life is Fright Night, and obviously honorable mention to A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which, as we've already said, is a phenomenal film. Carly, your thoughts?
Mine are very similar, but also a little different. So, yes, Nosferatu, but I also want, like, special nod to the Are You Afraid of the Dark, where Nosferatu comes out, because, holy crap, yes. My
well,
favorite.
How can that count? Because that's
what, okay, personally, that's what introduced me to Nosferatu. If I hadn't seen that, I wouldn't have seen Nosferatu, probably, because I wouldn't have known that it exists, right?
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Obviously, Lost Boys totally with you there. A nod to Interview with the Vampire, because mm-hmm. that's kind of what introduced me. Like, when I was little, I was like, I want to be Kirsten Dunst.
Yes.
I would, like, be home at, like, from school sick, and it was, like, one of those movies that my parents were like, don't watch it, and I would be find it on HBO and be like, I'm going to watch it in secret, and all these people are naked, and I'm confused. But, like, whatever.
No one's here to explain all this nudity to me.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it because it's great. And then, so I also love the original Fright Night, but I thoroughly love the remake of Fright Night.
Yeah, I like the remake too, but there's something about the original.
I totally agree with you, but the remake has like all things that I love, like, you know, Anton Yelchin. my heart. It was his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, or 2 days ago.
Happy birthday, Anton.
But the mechanics of the car scene in that movie blow my mind every single time I watch it. There's like so many things. I love the humor. I love the fear. I love McLovin. I love that movie. And then
that's true. It is one of the better remakes that we've gotten in our lifetime. And it's one of those films that doesn't take away from the original because it's different enough.
Yes.
That, like, it kind of stands as its own story. And I totally feel you. Like, I think that the remake is great. Although the 80s is is near and dear
you
to my heart.
I mean, Chris Sarandon as the vampire.
But I understand Anton Yelchin's in the remake, so.
And I love him.
That
you guys.
Is your heart.
It's my heart. It's where it goes. I love it. And I don't.
I kind of like
this movie isn't my favorite, but there's one shot in it that's so solid, and it's super like the comic books was 30 Days of Night. Where, like, right when the vampires take over the town, there's this, like, overview shot of just, like, snow and slaughter. And it's, like, so cool.
That is a great scene in that film. Yeah. I'm not a huge 30 Days of Night fan, but
it was just,
that
like,
is
such
really
a cool shot.
It's a really cool shot. Yeah. I agree.
So,
I love that. I love that both of our favorites are, like, the same movie, but remake and not.
Yeah, me too.
Aren't we just the cutest? We're just the cutest.
It was meant to be, guys. This podcast is meant to be.
Okay. Is there anything coming up that you want to discuss, Carly? Anything you're doing, working on, looking at, watching, smelling, acting on?
Smelling wine in my C-3PO cup because my Boba Fett cup broke.
Yeah, it's a wine kind of night, guys.
It is.
This is a wine kind of podcast.
No, I'm just very excited to see Kong tomorrow. Very excited Belko Experiments coming out on Friday along with Beauty and the Beast. And I think there's like another movie too. This is like a big weekend for some
You're
reason.
You're going to have to watch out with your theater going experience this week because we have to watch four movies this week for next week's episode.
I'm not scared.
Atta girl.
Bring it on.
It's that kind of weekend. Yeah. We're recording Horror Business this next week, so we have extra recording times, but all right, that's it. Just lots of theater going experiences.
I'm doing everything I can to delay my final three episodes of a Year in the Life.
All right. Well, that's cool.
I've been watching Buffy because I'm distraught about it going, even though it's going to be on Hulu. It's fine.
Oh, is it going to be on Hulu? Mm-hmm. Oh, thank goodness.
I know, right?
Thank goodness for you, Hulu. Ugh. I'm getting excited checking out all the new movies that are coming out for streaming because we kind of took a week off from paying attention to new release movies. There's quite a few new ones that came out that I've been really excited to watch, so I'm kind of planning our April schedule a little bit.
Does The Craft count as a horror movie?
It will when we do it. Sweet. Because it's one of my favorites. It definitely counts as a horror movie. You don't think that The Craft is a horror movie?
I just didn't know.
It totally is.
I accept. Carissa
Balk used to give me fucking nightmares.
Oh my god, that last scene. We'll talk about it in the future.
Oh my god. I love The Craft.
Me too.
Love it.
I was basically a witch in high school because of The Craft. Or middle school, I guess.
I definitely had witch moments.
Right? Me and my friends, we were like, let's be in a coven. And we're like, cool. Yeah. Let's do
totally.
It.
Totally. I one time got caught doing a spell in my room and I got yelled at.
my friend Gina and I would pass notes with each other sealed with wax.
Oh, yeah. I tried. There's a lot of spells with wax. Tarot cards.
Oh, yeah.
I still have tarot cards, but yeah. For
love
sure.
Love it.
Totally, 100%. The Craft is definitely a horror movie in my brain. No doubt about it.
I'm stoked on it already. Can't wait.
So I'm excited because we have a lot of, apparently The Craft will be one of them. I didn't really make that decision yet, but Carly just made it for me.
I'll write it on the list.
Okay. What else is coming up? I'm trying to think. I'm really excited to go on the Horror Businesses episode. Talk about some alien movies because I love me some alien movies too. And I don't know. I guess not much. I'm doing like a lot of like house reconstruction and
that's fun
stuff. We just opened our pool. We have a pool and we opened it and it's too cold to go swimming in it, but it's still kind of fun to look at.
It's so pretty and calming.
Yeah. It's always nice when the pool is clean and ready to swim in, even if it's too cold to swim in it. We'll jump in and then jump back out, you know? That's kind of our thing.
I like it.
What else? I mean, not much. Work is super busy, and so I guess that's it for now. So let's close out.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone and Jason Link, by the way. Not Justin, because I said Justin about a million times last episode. I'm so sorry, Jason. Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorCast.com for more information on them. We still have lots of stickers to give away, so if you're interested in getting some stickers, all you have to do is share our podcast on social media or rate and review us on iTunes. Then send an email to FinalGirlsHorrorCast@gmail.com and we'll send some directly to you.
Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. Find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
So that's it for today, my lovelies. Tune in next week when we dive into our installment of Listener Request Month with Baskin, as requested by Twitter follower Rachel, and The Curse of Chucky, as requested by Carly's cousin.
Woo!
I don't know if you want to say your cousin's name.
Her name is Emma.
Okay, Carly's cousin Emma requested The Curse of Chucky, so we're doing it.
It's going to be a crazy next week. Have you seen Baskin?
It's going to be a weird... Yes, I have seen Baskin. I've seen both of these movies. Yeah. So it'll be a fun episode.
Tune in for the craziness.
For the craziness of next week's episode. Until then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly. Bye. Bye.